day for the truth of the Word of God. May it enter into our hearts, Lord, into our spirits, that you would guide and direct us, Lord God. Oh God, we thank you for the Word, that it is quick and powerful and sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword. Let it pierce the today, Lord, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, that it may discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart. We give you glory this day, and we praise you for your love in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So I went to a wedding yesterday. In fact, we officiated the wedding here at this church, and it was one of the young ladies that has come to this church for many years and finally has decided to get married. It was an interesting time because the wedding guests that came never came into the sanctuary till 5 minutes before the wedding began. They were mostly out in the parking lot. Everybody drove up in a truck or a motorcycle. So they were a pretty tough crew, and they were smoking outside, which gave great respect to the church, but they all came in and were very respectful during the service that we had. And I performed the marriage. See, who out there believes in marriage? See, and this is an interesting thought. Some people have said to me, I don't really like to marry people, or I don't marry people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I believe in marriage, even if you're not a Christian. I still believe in marriage, going to the justice of the peace, and having a binding relationship of commitment to your spouse. But I believe when somebody is married in a church, they should be coming to be married in the sight of God. Amen? And in the name of Jesus Christ. And I have refused at times to marry people that are marrying an unbelieving spouse. I believe, again, that we should be equally yoked, that we should marry someone that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If, in fact, you find yourself in a situation where your spouse does not know the Lord as their Savior, I would encourage you to pray for them, that they might receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because some people count it lightly that their spouse doesn't know the Lord, but I don't count it lightly. If I love my spouse and I've given myself up for my spouse to make them happy, I want them to have eternal life with me. Amen? I don't want them to go to another place and I go to heaven. I want them to go to eternal life with me. So I believe in marriage, but I believe in a marriage especially that is ordained in the eyes of God and in the name of Jesus Christ. So I gave the gospel in the service besides marrying this couple, and I could see in the eyes that people were listening to what I had to say. Then Lily and I, we went to the reception. As we went to the reception, I knew there was going to be alcohol served at this reception. I know that some preachers won't go to a place where they're serving alcohol, but I find it a great opportunity to be able to go in the any place where you have an opportunity to share the gospel. And I always look for that opportunity. Interesting, Lily and I sat down at a table number 7. The perfect table, I figured. Well, this is table number 7. I'm looking for perfect things. So there we sat. And as I say this, that maybe the crew that was part of this wedding, you know, sort of were rough around the edges, some of them. The Bible says, don't forget that such were some of you. Amen? And don't forget that all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And don't forget that we judge not lest we be judged, because with the judgment we judge, so shall we judge. I only made an observation that these people obviously or probably had never made an outward profession for Christ and weren't regular attenders at church. But that doesn't mean that we're any better than they or I better than they. I certainly am not saying that I am. But as I think about that, I think about somebody that might be judgmental. One of my favorite figures in the Old Testament is David, King David, the second king of Israel that displaced Saul, who had not followed the things of God. But David, as great as he was, he fell. I mean, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great... All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put together again. You were close, though. Nobody can put Humpty together again, but God can. And though King David had a great fall in that, and I reiterated that to you some weeks ago, but just to refresh your mind how David had seen Bathsheba, who was not his wife, and he took her and had sexual relations with her. She became pregnant. He called the husband to try and, who was at war, to try and goad his wife, but he stayed and slept at the very gate and wouldn't go to be with his wife because of there were men of Israel in the war. And then David sent him into the midst of the fray, and Uriah the Hittite was killed. And so David had a double sin upon him of adultery and then murder. The Bible exposed that. But with a great fall, the beautiful thing, and I believe this is why David is called the man after God's own heart. David was called. He was called to be the king. He was chosen by God because of the workings of his heart. And David was exposed for that. Nathanael the prophet came up and Nathan the prophet came up to him and said, thou art the man. He had told a story to David. I'm sure you know this story, but I find this to be one of the most embarrassing things. I'm almost living the embarrassment of David. If you remember this story, Nathan the prophet came up and said to David, David, I have something to tell you. This a man had a little lamb, and he loved this. He took this lamb. It was like his pet, like one of his children, took it into the house and ate it at its own table practically. And a guest came to a rich man's house, and the rich man took this man's only lamb, and he took it and slaughtered the lamb and fed his guests and had his pleasure. And David said, that's horrid. This man has to return multiple amounts back to this man. And David was really hot under the collar. He said, saying, what a despicable man. And Nathan turned to David and he said, thou art the man. You had all the blessing of Israel, but yet you took Uriah's wife. And David fell down and repented and cried before the Lord. So with a great fall comes a great opportunity for repentance. And I say this because I never want us to think that any of us is exempt from having a fall in their life or having sin in their life. As we, even after we've come to Jesus Christ as our Savior, many of us have sinned and done things that are short of the glory of God. But David repented. And the beautiful thing about that is that David was restored. Amen? And thank God that he was restored. But I'm sure he never forgot this because obviously the truth of that was in front of him because he took Bathsheba to his wife after Uriah had been had died, obviously murdered at David's hand. So I say that for, I was sitting at table 7, and the interesting thing is that Lily and I were there, and 3 people came and sat at that same table. One, a man that I knew from many years ago, his mother came to this church a few times, was the great aunt of the young lady that was married. She passed away a few years ago at the age 99 and a half. A great memory as I sat and talked with him for a while. And the other 2 people came over, one his daughter, and a man that was with his daughter. And so we talked about everything you could think of. I tried to keep a conversation going because I figure if I keep talking and the people get to know you as a person, that they will be open to hear what you might have to say. So one of the fellow that I had known for some years, not real close, but I had run into him a few times at this church. He was saved, but he wasn't sure what his past, as far as repercussions of his past and what would happen to that when he entered into eternity or as he followed the Lord. I had great opportunity to minister to him because I showed him that even Paul, who was such a sinner, and David, who had been such a sinner, had been restored. And if you remember, Paul persecuted the church, but I love what Paul said, that forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which lie ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that we should let our past sins be in the past. Amen? But here's what I mean by that. I don't believe that you're going to say, I don't remember what I did. Obviously, it's a lesson learned. But I believe that if a person lives in their past failures thinking that they are condemned and they are feeling guilty all the day long for something that they have done in the past, they will fail to reach forward to the grace that Jesus Christ has provided for them and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. You need to put the past behind you. And there be someone in this congregation, I'm speaking to you today, is repent of your sin, put the past behind you to use that as a lesson learned, and now press towards a holy life as you go towards Jesus Christ. Amen? That is what God would call us to do. And so I had opportunity of ministering to that man, and his daughter was sitting there across from us. We were all very close, and fortunately, I mean, when you go to a wedding, I do never want to hear again, let's get it started in here, or whatever. Every time I go, they play this thing that let's get it started in here. Ba-da. And they sit you at a table to talk to people, and the music is so loud you can't think. But thank God, when we started to eat, the music went down to at least my ears weren't bleeding at this point. So I had an opportunity to begin to talk to the man across from me, and as he began to speak and open up, he shared that he had, I asked him, I said, do you have any kind of religious persuasion? And he said, well, not really. I've sort of been going to, the last year and a half, I've been sober. So he had been an alcoholic for many years, and he said, I've been going to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've been sober for it. I said, well, that's interesting, and I talked with him, and I began to tell him about Sunday school class that we're working on, and that Sunday school class speaks specifically about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I began to tell him the truths of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he listened very intently to me, and the young lady that was also sitting there was listening very intently. I'm sure she had heard this message before, because she had been brought up in a Christian home, although she had, I don't know to say that she had turned away, but she had not walked in the way that she should have been, because were now living together. And I began to share with him about the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he began to listen very intently. I didn't lead him in the sinner's prayer, but I gave him that word to think of. And what came to me is the fact that there was restoration that was open to him if he received the truth of that. And I offer this thought to you today, the same as when you reach eternity and you stand before God. Will you be clothed in that wedding garment? The parable I read speaks to that issue. Many are called, but few are chosen. There's another wedding parable that Christ used about the 10 virgins. But this is a different emphasis. Is meant on that Israel had shunned the things of Jesus Christ, and they had literally not listened to the prophets. But now, imagine the marriage is coming, and they are invited to the wedding feast. We have all been invited to that wedding feast of Jesus Christ, and we need to be prepared with the proper wedding garment. So the three people I had spoken to that day, the one man was very encouraged, because now he realized the grace of Christ that had been given to him, that his sins were passed. The fellow that I spoke to, I said, and so that is what I wanted to share with you. And now you need to think about what you're going to do with this. And I turned to the young lady and I said, and I know you know this. And she had heard this message before. You never know what kind of an encounter you're going to have. At times I've sowed the seed, at times I've been had the opportunity of reaping, but I believe we should always have the word of God ready to speak forward. Amen? The Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope within you. I wasn't asked, but I said anyhow, so I just thank God for that. I ask you this day, do you have a wedding garment? Are you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Are you dressed for the occasion? Many people get dressed up, and there were many people at that wedding, even in, I'm sure, the parable of Christ, but at the wedding I was, many of the people dressed in tuxedos, and I thought, how good all these people look, and what a fine presentation this is with the ladies in their dresses and the men in their suits, but there is going to come a time when the only clothing that will matter is the clothing that is clothing of Jesus Christ. That will be the only thing that will matter when you stand before the Lord. And I wonder where you are in that situation right now. There will be a feast, a wedding feast that we are invited to called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. I want to be there at that feast. And I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I love a song that says, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. And I thank God that we will be clothed like that. We enter into eternity. Do you have that clothing? Do you have those things that are applicable to that? Remember that David was called. He was chosen. Unfortunately, he fell. Fortunately, he repented and he was restored. This is the picture of all our lives. The Bible said, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, we are made alive together in Christ. By grace are you saved. I think the greatest failure you can be at the door of the greatest restoration, which is Christ standing there knocking at that door, and he is saying, I will come in and sup with you. The Bible said, if any man will open that door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. Our desire this day is to see all of you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you have fallen, then repent, be restored, and have that beauty of a relationship with Jesus Christ again. God wants to bring you out of the place of failure, and he wants to bring you into a place of hope and of peace. Review your heart this day. The Bible said that we should see if we are brought into a place of salvation, or if we are walking in our own delusion. Christ wants you to know him as your Lord and Savior. And he wants you also to know that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. If you have failed and you have turned away from the things of God, then I say, renew that thing that God has placed within you. Come to a deeper place in Jesus Christ again. Receive him as your Savior, and let the peace of God that passeth all understanding rest and abide with each one of you. I don't know what will be the outcome of the man that I had been able to share with, and I don't know what the outcome will be of the lady that he was with. But I do know that they heard the gospel that day. They heard the truth that Jesus Christ died for them, rose again, and that he is coming again to forgive them of this, coming again to receive them to himself, that where he is, there they may be also. I rejoice in God this day, and I pray God's blessing on you in Christ's name. Amen. Michael, praise God.